This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey, good morning and welcome to The Garden Show. I'm Dean Holland, your host, the newest little transplant in the big Zoomer garden. And indeed, it is a garden party here with Charlie Dobbin. How are you this morning, Charlie?
I'm excellent. I got long underwear on, earmuffs, big mitts.
Yeah.
It's crispy at my place. It's about minus 17 right now.
Yeah, and we're about minus 14 up here, but I think we have a whole lot more snow up where I am in Collingwood. We have, like, my wife has a snow stick outside that we made last year, and it's showing just under 25 centimeters. So we got a nice blanket, and we were out. It's fluffy stuff.
Yeah, it's been cold enough. So 25, so that's like 10 inches, right? 25 centimeters.
Yeah.
Cool. I do not. I have still green grass poking up through my light dusting of snow.
Right. Well, we've got the skiing is just getting better and better all the time here. You know, Charlie, I just want to quickly give out the numbers. First of all, we would love for you to call if you're anywhere in Toronto, 416-360-0740, or anywhere toll free in the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. Okay. And let Carlos know if you are a first time caller, because we will, of course, give you your garden wings. And our mantra, of course, call often, call early, and one question per call, please. And Charlie, I think you have a couple of announcements, I think.
Yeah, just a couple of our listeners have sent me notes via email. So I'll remind everybody of the email once I give you these announcements. One is the Agincourt Garden Club. They're very active as a group. They're having a Zoom meeting, which is open to absolutely everybody, members and non-members alike. Welcome to join the Agincourt Garden Club Zoom meeting, January the 10th at 7 p.m. Michael Erdman is the speaker, the presenter, and the presentation is called The Gardens of Bangkok and Singapore. So if you want that Zoom link, you can email me and I can forward you the link, or you can call Cheryl Penner. She's the person in charge of all the communication around the Agincourt Garden Club, and you can call her at 416-414-7777. And like I say, it's days are getting longer. I know it's crispy and cold and the snow has been falling, but I'm getting the itch of spring. Like, I'm starting to feel it.
Mm-hmm. You know? Oh yeah. You and me both.
Yeah. One of our consistent listeners, Maureen, thank you for the email, sent me a heads up, and I had seen this email as well. One of our favorites, our absolute favorite seed supplier, Stokes Seeds out of St. Catharines, sent an email to anybody who's been a customer and said they cannot print the catalog anymore. The paper is just too short of supply. And Maureen is sad because for so many of us, we ooh and ah. It's like eye candy, right? Looking at those seed catalogs. Oh, those tomatoes look so good. I got to grow those or whatever, flowers or eggplants. So no more catalogs, all online. But of course, stokeseeds.ca will give you all the information. You can print off the order form. You can email the order form, or you can phone in your order. So they're there to serve, but just the main thing is the main heads up is just no more catalog.
Gotcha. Okay, Charlie, got to go to a quick break, but when we come back, we'll get some callers and some emails here on The Garden Show.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Okay, we are back here on The Garden Show. I'm going to give those phone numbers out just before we get to a caller, anywhere in Toronto, 416-360-0740, or toll-free anywhere in the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. I'm Dean Holland, and Charlie Dobbin is here, and we have Judy on the line from Stratford. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning. Is this Charlie's intensive care unit for African violence?
I think it is, yes.
It can be.
Mine needs intensive care. I have a purple one and a pink one, and they both flower constantly. They've been doing great. All at once, the pink one is going downhill. There's barely anything left. And as we were looking at it, it's got all white underneath the leaves, so I'm thinking it's probably powdery mildew.
Okay, are we talking about orchids?
No, African violets.
Oh, African violets. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, white. And like it says, you know, make sure you have circulation around your African violets. Well, we have, yeah. It's in my sunroom, so we have a ceiling fan, so right close by, so it's not that. So what do I do to try to save this?
If you, okay, so African violets have very furry leaves. So if you took your thumb and you rubbed where that white, does it look white, powdery? Will it rub off with your thumb?
Yep. Okay. And all the leaves, as soon as you touch them around the bottom, like they just fall off.
Oh, dear. Right.
It's bad.
Okay. No, that is sad. Well, first of all, separate, obviously isolate any plants that aren't doing well from other plants.
Okay.
So, because, you know, if it does sound like powdery mildew and it is contagious.
Yeah,
so now we've got
plants.
To modify the environment. Now, like you say, it's a sunroom, so it's bright. It's got a fan, which is good. You want that air circulation. It's in a pot with drainage, I assume.
Right, it is, yes.
And then is that pot sitting inside another pot, like an over pot?
No.
Okay, good. Because that's the other thing is, I was going to say, get it out of any enclosures that it's in. Make it as open, wide open to the air, the sun, the exposure to deal with that. The leaves that are infested with the mildew will likely fall off.
Yeah. It's
you
wide
could
open,
go
you plant
to your local
so
garden center, and I know the home stores are starting to set up for spring now, so you could go to any sort of retailer that sells garden supplies. There is a wonderful all-purpose fungicide called, oh man, it was just in my brain. Where'd it go? Oh, it's called Serenade. So Serenade, Serenade.
Okay.
Follow the instructions on that. Don't waste your time with soap or anything like that. You'll make it worse if you start putting insecticides on. Treat it strictly with a fungicide. Excuse me, with a fungicide. And fingers crossed. It can be. What you basically need is you need some new growth, which of course will be up at the top, to emerge and not become infested. So you're not going to save the leaves that are infected now, but what you're hoping for is to grow new leaves that do not become infected.
Well, we've taken all the infected leaves off.
Okay, good. Good. So now, the spores are microscopic. You can't see them. It's likely still there on the surface of the soil or somewhere, on the pot. So I would still recommend a topical fungicide treatment following all the instructions.
It's very wide open because there's so few leaves left anymore.
Yeah. Well, as long as it's got a little bit of green, even one leaf is enough to allow the plant to recover.
Okay.
Be careful, obviously, with your watering. You never want to get it wet, the leaves wet. Err on the side of underwatering for now rather than, being too careful with too much water. No misting, of course. And don't do fertilizer or anything like that for another couple of weeks. And then absolutely get ready with some African violet food.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Let us know how that goes.
Yeah, I'll probably send an obituary notice.
No, hope not.
And okay, thank you so much. And you have a good day.
Society,
bye-bye.
Sorry, I was just going to say, the African Violet Society has an amazing website. Like, there are people out there that are serious African violet growers and collectors, and internationally, and they get together and talk about African violets. They have a great website with some wonderful troubleshooting tips. So there might be something on that website that I've failed to mention.
Fabulous. Okay, and I have to tell you, I think that is a beautiful name for a fungicide, Serenade. it makes you want to just sing to your African violets.
And they would probably like that.
And they would probably like it. Indeed. Listen, we have to take another quick break, but when we come back, we'll take some more callers, and I have an email on my desk about bugs that we'll probably get to as well.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And that list of plants and flowers that you just heard serenaded is just the tip of the iceberg that Charlie Dobbin can tell you about. We're just having a great time here in the garden party here in the Garden Show. And I got a couple of callers on the line. Then we're going to go to Richmond Hill now. I've got John on the line. Good morning, John.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, how are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to the show, John. Hold on. We need to welcome you with your getting some wings.
Oh, yes. I missed that in the top corner. We have your garden wings, John. Here we go.
There you go.
You earned them.
Thanks for calling, John. What's going on?
I have two Japanese red maples, mm-hmm. and they're dome-shaped rather than tree-shaped. Once a year, I tend to prune them just a little bit, maybe an inch or so, just to sort of keep the dome shape. But mm-hmm. they're getting quite large. I guess diameter-wise, they're about 11 to 12 feet across. And in terms of height, they're 11 to 12 feet high. And as I say, it's getting difficult for me to manage them. And they're starting to encroach on the patio. So my question is, can these be pruned back at the appropriate time of the year? Maybe 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 inches without damaging the bush completely?
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. I mean, we tend to be very gentle with our Japanese maples because we love them and we think they're very tender and we just, you know, treat them with kid gloves, but we really don't need to. A Japanese maple is just a maple. So just like with any other tree or shrub, when it's time to prune and you're pruning because the plant has gotten too big, it's oversized, it's proportionally wrong in the property or near your home, you can take off up to between 25% of the plant and 30% of the plant any one year, any one time. So what I would do is in the spring, I mean, the easiest time to do this is before the leaves emerge so you can see what you're doing and you can get in underneath, get a stepladder, get your loppers, get in underneath, start taking out anything that's dead for starters, and you'll know it's dead because it's a different color. The bark, it will be gray instead of shiny green and you know, it's a real different look to a dead branch versus a live branch. So you'll do clean cuts, get rid of all the dead stuff. Then you're going to stand back and you're going to say, all right, it's still too wide and it's still weeping down too low. So at that point, you can then start bringing the plant in to narrow it. You're not going to make it any shorter. I don't think you're going to find you can take things off the top and it's going to suddenly be less tall, but you can certainly make it narrower and you can certainly trim it up so that, you know, if it's that big of a plant, do you walk beneath it? I mean, you could like turn them into almost umbrellas.
Yeah, you can. Really, you can. Can this be done in the fall rather than the spring?
It can, choose your time wisely. When we prune in the fall, if we prune in, say, September, you know, late September, and it's mild weather, we tend to encourage a bunch of new growth. And you don't want new growth in the fall. The plant wants to naturally slow down and go dormant for the winter. So if you can do your pruning in August, that's better because, again, a little bit of new growth then won't be detrimental. Or wait till October when it's cooler weather and you're less likely to see a lot of flush of buds, et cetera.
Okay. Great. Okay, that was it. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, John. Listen, in addition to calling during the live programming, of course, you can also get in touch with Charlie at your convenience during the week via email. And her email is c.dobbin@mzmedia.com. Okay, and I actually have an email here, Charlie. Mm-hmm. Diane writes, I live in an apartment building. It is infested with pharaoh ants, and they are everywhere. Do you know of a product that I can use to get rid of them? I have a cat, and I need to be careful what I use in my suite. She says she lives in the Kennedy and Eglinton area in Scarborough. And she says that she would really love to get rid of these. She calls them these little buggers.
Well, so it's funny, you know, I'd never heard of pharaoh ants. Pharaoh spelled like an Egyptian pharaoh.
Mm-hmm.
But a synonymous word they're often referred to are sugar ants. So these are very small ants. They are almost translucent. They're quite tiny. They are tropical. They are everywhere in the world. And so, of course, in the tropics, they happily live year-round outside. But in the northern hemisphere or the far southern hemisphere, they move inside for the winter because they will die in the winter. So that's why at this time of year, if you're going to see these ants, you typically will see them in the winter because they've moved into the apartment building. Now, ant traps or bait is going to be your only way to really get rid of these ants. I mean, there's a lot of different sort of suggestions out there. Cinnamon, cayenne pepper, which of course you wouldn't use if you have a cat, bay leaves, diatomaceous earth, which some people swear by, but it's a bit messy. And again, you don't want your cat inhaling that. You got to watch where the ants are coming in and out of your suite. So there's going to be areas, there's going to be some little cracks and crannies, could be in under the sink, some, you know, in a cabinet. It could be at a door. It could be at a vent. But bottom line is track where the ants are entering and place your bait traps very specifically at the entrances where the ants are entering your suite. The best one out there, and it is widely available, Canadian Tire, Home Depot, all those places, it's called Max Force. So one word, Max Force Ant Bait Stations, and follow all the instructions on the station. So the good thing about using the bait stations is the cat will not be interested, will not be at all, you know, paying attention to them at all, but they're very attractive to ants. They're full of sugar and borax or boric acid, and they will take this lovely boric acid back to the nest, and they will feed it to the other little baby ants in the nest and the queen in the nest, and eventually the nest will die. There are multi-colonies when you've got pharaoh ants inside a building, so it's not going to be an instant fix. It's going to take a few weeks, but you should be able to eliminate them from your suite by, like I say, place those bait stations in the right locations.
Wow, sounds like a little battle indeed, doesn't it?
Never a dull moment.
Never a dull moment at all. Okay, we're going to Toronto now. I've got Marianne on the line. How are you on this Saturday morning, Marianne?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you, both of you?
We're well. We're well, yeah.
What's going on, Marianne?
I have a spider aloe. It's in a 9-inch pot. And it's gone wild. The fronds are trying to escape from the pot. And I was given this plant about 10 years ago, and it was one plant. Now there's 12 of them. And the ends are green, but the part that's coming out of the earth is kind of drying up on the stem. Now, how can I separate them? Can I put them in individual pots in earth or in water?
Okay, so great question, and you're right. It is a plant that tends to set lots of little babies or daughter plants from the mother. And so before you know it, your pot is absolutely jammed full of little aloe plants.
Right.
So what I would do is so you said it's about a 10-inch pot. If you've got like a work table or even a kitchen table, spread out a bunch of newspapers, lay the pot down on its side on top of the newspapers and pull the whole mess out of the pot.
Ooh.
And what you'll find is that all those little daughter plants in many cases will have their own roots. And you just need to get a sharp knife and you're going to sever those smaller plants away from the main plant with a sharp knife. And then you can right away pot them up into their own little separate pots with very well-drained potting mix, a fresh bags of fresh, preferably cactus soil if you can get such a thing, or just a regular potting mix where you add in some extra drainage, some sand or gravel or anything that will help with drainage. You don't want them sitting in too much moisture. And then you're going to make lots of friends
because
you're going to give little plants to everybody you know.
Right.
And then go back and keep what you want. Put back, like you can scrub that original pot and then put the mother plant back into it if you like.
There are about 12 mothers now.
Yeah.
They're all growing.
There's actually only one mother and 11 daughters, but yeah, or maybe even more.
Can I repot the existing ones?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, and you'll find, like, aloe is sort of a funny thing that if you give them a really big pot, they will tend to fill the pot.
Oh,
so
yeah.
What I do is I tend to not give them very big pots. And then that does dwarf them a bit. You know, it just, they can't keep growing if there's only a tiny pot. And you never need to transplant any plant until the roots are growing out of the bottom of the drainage holes of the pot.
Oh, yeah. So okay. Can I cut off the green part of the mother plant and start to re-root it in water or put it right in the earth?
No, I would keep its original roots. It has roots now. Oh, were you saying the stem is naked at the bottom there?
Well, the stem, the part that comes from the earth to where the green part is all dried leaves.
Right. Yeah, and that happens when they get old. You may want to just toss out the mother plant and just keep the babies. You will not be able to root that in water, I don't think. See, that's the thing. If you pull that plant out of the soil, you get your scissors, you cut off all the dried leaves, you're going to have the stalk with no leaves on it, and then the green, you know, poofy tip where the fresh growth is. To try and root that, like to cut off those old roots, try and root that gnarly stem.
Yes.
Is possible, but how you would do that is not in water. You would sever that mother plant from its roots, throwing out the roots, keep the top, make sure you've got a couple inches of stem where you've cut all the leaves away, and then sit that on a piece of newspaper on a windowsill or a table somewhere and let it just sit for a couple of weeks. No water, no nothing, just sitting out in the air. And what will happen is some roots will start to grow, believe it or not, as it sits out there, or at least where you've done all that removal, where you've cut the ends. Because remember what happens when we cut aloe, you get all that gel, etc. So you want that to be all dried up. And once it dries up, we call it callus. So it ends up with callus on those cut surfaces. And then, in a perfect world, roots will grow where that callus is. But putting it in water will probably cause the whole thing to rot. So let it sit for a couple of weeks. And then if you want to, at that point, put it into a pot, you know, make a hole in some moist soil, jam that stem into the moist soil, I would use chopsticks, you know, from the Chinese food restaurant.
Yes.
Use some chopsticks to hold the whole thing up nice and stable, you know, four or five all around it. And don't touch it, just let it be. And roots will grow eventually.
But the gel is so useful for cuts and scrapes and cat scratches, you know?
For sure. That's why we love keeping an aloe in the house, for sure.
Yes.
Fabulous. Thank you so much, Marianne.
Thank you very much.
And if you're going to be up in Collingwood any time there, Marianne, I'll take one of those plants from you.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. Get those numbers again. Anywhere in Toronto, 416-360-0740, or anywhere else in the province of Ontario, 1-866-740-4740. And again, if you wish to email Charlie, her email is c.dobbin@mzmedia.com. And I just want to, you know, I got to compliment the callers. Our mantra, call often, call early, and one question per call, please. Everybody's been really great, including Judy, who called us earlier, and she's back on the line with another question. So welcome back to the show, Judy.
Hi. I called our greenhouse about that serenade that Charlie told me, and they don't sell it.
Yeah.
Now, she told me they have a 3-in-1 fungicide. Will that work?
3-in-1. Is that what it's actually called? 3-in-1?
That's what she told me it was called. She said a fungicide is called 3-in-1.
Did you know I'm thinking of something called End-All.
End-All
is an insecticide. Oh, let me just double check that. So 3-in-1.
But she said they don't have Serenade.
Too bad, because it's a good one. Oh, 3-in-1 fungicide. Okay, yeah. Insecticide fungicide. See, that's what I don't want. 3-in-1, yeah, safers. Okay, let me just double check what this is. Just double checking.
Okay.
3-in-1 insect disease and mite control. If this is the same thing, I'm not a big fan of triple protection with one application. Insect disease and mite control. Cures and prevents diseases. Oh, wow. I love it when they say these things. Okay, so if you use this 3-in-1 with a name like that, you know it's an all-purpose, going to just kind of solve every problem in the world. You will, in a sense, be wasting insecticide if there are no insects on your African violet. But it is possible, because this is the time of year when spider mites tend to emerge from, I don't even know where they come from, mm-hmm. but they love a dry environment. So spider mites will often show up on our plants at this time of year. So you are, in a sense, being a bit preventative for any insect problems that might be happening in a low way that you're not aware of yet. It is apparently a fungicide. So yeah, I mean, you could try it. I mean, obviously follow the instructions really closely, whatever it says. Usually when we spray plants, we get them out of direct sunlight, and we often, you know, sometimes we put on these sprays and then we wash them off a couple hours later just because it's hard on the plants. Okay. African violets are plants I don't really think of as needing a lot of care because they don't get infested with things, but it's, you know, they definitely do get some fungal diseases. So try it. Try the 3-in-1 meanwhile, I'll look and see if there's any other sort of common fungicides out there that might be worth having just in your arsenal, so to speak.
So now I have some Endol. Will it work?
No, Endol should be just an insecticide.
Okay. All right.
It should be pyrethrins and canola oil. And it does work very, very well as an insecticide. Again, shaking it because of the oil. But the 3-in-1 sounds like it's sort of the same idea. It's got a lot going on inside that package. But yeah, why not? Let us know how that works.
Okay, thank you so much.
Great. Thanks again, Judy.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we got to go to a quick break, but we do have, we'll come back with a caller, and we do have lines open, so do give us a call. We will be right back.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Indeed, this is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. I'm Dean Holland. And this week, I'm in my home studio in Collingwood, Ontario. Charlie, you are in your studio in Prince Edward County. Uh-huh. And, of course, Carlos is at Zoomerplex. He's pulling everything together for us. And so we're here on the airwaves.
Doing a fine job.
Yeah, well, and I've been thinking about you all week, every time I've been shoveling the snow, because now I think of it as that blanket that you talk about so often, that it really beds down the flowers. It's better for the flowers to have.
Yes, it is. Well, it does, because it holds the moisture in the soil and the moisture around the plants, which is really important.
Gotcha. And I never really thought of it that way. But honestly, every time I keep throwing it on top of the gardens on either side of our driveway, I think of you.
No. The one place you don't want to throw a lot of piles of snow is on top of many of your evergreens. The weight will break the branches.
Gotcha.
But certainly around the bottom of the evergreens is excellent.
Okay. Excellent. We have a first-time caller on the line. We are going to Hamilton. We have Rose. How are you this morning, Rose?
Good morning.
Morning. I got your garden wings for you, hon.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, you earned them. There you go.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have a Epiphyllum. I guess it's called Queen of the Night. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Can you spell that for me? Epiphyllum?
Epiphyllum.
Okay, Queen of the Night.
That's why they give them all those names, right? Because that's not a very romantic name. Queen of the Night is very romantic.
Okay, give me a second here. I'm just going to double check what it is we're talking about.
How much snow you got there in Hamilton, Rose?
I'm looking out the window. I don't see any at all.
No, hey.
Oh, just maybe a few patches here and there, but mostly green.
Yeah, we are completely covered. Like I said, we have about 10 inches up here, which is great for the ski hills, but lots of snow.
Sweet.
It blooms night.
Yeah. So I see what it is. Yeah, it's a form of cactus that you've got, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, this one has never bloomed. My mom got a cutting back in 2016. She would take it outside in the warm spring and then all summer, put it on the veranda. So it got some sunlight, but it was in shade and sun. And anyway, so I brought it home, and it faces east outside, like inside my window. So I get the morning, early afternoon sun, and I only water it about maybe once a month. But it's never bloomed, and I'm wondering why.
Okay, so what's interesting when we bring plants into our homes and want them to perform the way they do in their natural habitat, then we have to try and give them the environment that they came from. So okay. One of the things that so many of the cactuses require in order to bloom is a cold period. You know, we don't really think of cacti as living in cold situations, but many of the cacti that live in deserts have very cold nights and very hot days. And it's those cold, the temperature changes, and that certain number of hours of hot and cold will often cause flower buds to form. So just a quick little scoot there into Google suggests that if you can take that plant, that epiphyllum, in the winter, so like late winter, so even today, put that into an unheated space. Well, meaning it's got to be above 40 degrees Fahrenheit. So can you put it into like a refrigerator type temperature zone for a period of a couple of weeks? So it could be an insulated but unheated garage. Well, honestly, my garage right now is -5 degrees. So I wouldn't want to put it in my garage right now because it'd be too cold. You want it to be just above zero, and you want to leave it there for about 3 weeks.
Oh,
it shouldn't be in pitch dark. Hopefully it could be a fairly bright spot. And then so that, you know, it's that sort of brightness. It doesn't need direct sunlight, but it does need a bright light, what they would call filtered light even. So at the end of that 3 weeks in the cool, you'll bring it back, put it back in its location in your house in the nice, warm, bright spot, and it should have set some flower buds.
Ooh, okay. And now what if I were to open the window? I've got like a patio window. Would that be enough to keep it cool or no?
It's going to cool your house down.
Yeah, it would.
Because this needs to be cool 24 hours a day, right? That cool,
okay.
You know, like, so what, 40 degrees Fahrenheit is about, what, 8 degrees Celsius, I think, maybe?
Okay.
So, yeah, you need it, yeah, right, you know, so above zero, but chilly, like, seriously chilly. Okay.
I'll try that. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Let us know how that works.
Thanks so much, Rose. Okay, those numbers again, 416-360-0740, anywhere in Toronto, or toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. However, I think Carlos is telling me that we need to take another quick break.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey, we are back. I'm Dean Holland, and I have here with me in the virtual studio, Charlie Dobbin. And Charlie, we have on the line a caller from Mississauga. Heidi, how are you this morning?
Oh, I'm good, thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What's going on at your place, Heidi?
Okay, I have a crown of thorns that's about 3 feet tall. It always has flowers at the top, but it's losing the leaves at the bottom.
So that's not that unusual. The older leaves will often drop on plants, quite common. The challenge, of course, is that it starts looking a little bit silly when it has no leaves at the bottom and all the leaves are up on the tips. Have you had this plant for years and years and years?
3 years. And I've been misting the top every day.
Okay, you can do that. So crown of thorns, just trying to remember the proper name on that plant. For people that are not familiar, it is a very easy plant to grow. It is very thorny, but it does have flowers with a lot of consistency as you're indicating. So it's one of those plants that it's not hard to propagate. If you'd like to take some cuttings from the top, you could very easily propagate that plant and get lots of smaller plants with leaves right down to the bottom and start again, as opposed to having that old. See, at the bottom, you've got like a stem that becomes quite woody. It ends up almost with bark on it, and it will not have a lot of green leaves, and that is quite common. If you are raising it in a greenhouse with high humidity and lots of other plants around, it wouldn't drop its leaves as quickly. But in our homes with high, you know, the dry forced air furnaces that so many of us have, the humidity levels aren't high enough for all the leaves to stay attached, and the older leaves will often drop. So, you know, up to you what you want to do there. You could, as you're suggesting, mist it, maybe even consider clustering some other plants near it so they can share each other's humidity, a pebble tray, that's the idea of kind of a cookie sheet with pebbles or gravel in the bottom, water in the gravel, plants sit on top of the gravel so that there's constant water evaporating around the plants. That will help it hold its leaves as well. But if you wanted to start again, you know, start with some smaller plants that are, like I say, green right to the bottom. Very simply, 2-inch or 5-centimeter cuttings. And just like we were saying when we were talking about the aloe earlier with Marianne, the crown of thorns has a lot of latex, white latex will come out of it when you cut it. So you've got to let it dry down just on a piece of newspaper or on a window ledge for a couple of weeks. Let the cut ends dry and then into some moist soil and roots will grow.
Okay there.
Makes sense, Heidi?
Yeah, okay. I think maybe we've lost Heidi. I don't know. Maybe we, but there, oh, yeah, we have. I think you answered her question, though. We are going to jump right into another call there. I got Betty on the line from Collingwood. Good morning, Betty.
Your neighbor.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Good morning. I have a, I believe it's called a miniature Fisher, Fiscus.
Oh, ficus.
Is that right?
Okay. It's a miniature?
Yeah, it's miniature, and I believe it's called Fiscus.
Okay, and
it starts with an F. That's all I remember. But
right.
It's at least
ficus
about 18 years old.
Is the proper name for fig tree? Is it a green leaves plant?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's likely it's a ficus, but a miniature ficus.
Okay.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the last couple of years, as I said, it's about 18 years old, but the last couple of years, it hasn't done anything other than a few leaves had gotten yellow, but it hasn't grown anymore.
Okay, but that's good. I mean, you've done a good job. You've had it that long. why would it not be growing? Well, when was the last time you gave it a new pot, and what size pot is it in now?
It's the same pot it's been in, but I take all the stones out. I wash them every once in a while, and I clean up around there.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing has happened in at least 2 years.
So there's stones on the surface, but I assume there's soil below the stones.
Yes.
Interesting. So, okay, plants in pots are in a very limited environment when it comes to access to nutrient and obviously moisture, which is why we water the plants, because they would die if we didn't. But we do have to fertilize on occasion. Have you ever fertilized this plant?
Every once in a while, but I haven't lately.
Yeah, well, don't in the winter. This is not the time of year to expect a lot of new growth on any of our house plants, generally speaking. But certainly do have an all-purpose kind of a, you know, 20-20-20 or a 10-10-10 kind of fertilizer on hand. And about a month from now, so middle of February, follow the instructions on the package. And when it's time to water that ficus, mix up some fertilizer and give it a thorough watering with nutrient in the water. Now, remember, you don't have to add as much fertilizer as the package says. You can add less, but never add more. And giving it a thorough watering, I think you will find with nutrient, you'll find you'll see a whole bunch of new growth. And to the point where you may have to get out your pruners and start to think about shaping the plant, because they often will be sort of growing more in one direction than another direction. And, you know, you want the plant to be an attractive plant and something that really adds to your home.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering, should I enlarge the pot?
What size pot do you think it's in now?
Oh, I don't know. I really don't know, about 6 inches.
Oh, my.
And it's got a real big bulb.
Yeah, I would certainly consider giving it a bigger pot. But not, don't go big. Like if it's in a 6-inch, go to an 8-inch. If it's in an 8-inch, go to a 10-inch.
Yeah. Okay.
Right? So just move it up one size. And fresh soil, oh, it'll love you for that. It'll just purr if you give it a fresh pot with fresh soil.
Okay, well, that's great. Fine. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Betty. Bye.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks. You know, I have a fertilizing question, actually, because I was doing some tidying up here, you know, I was, you know, and I found some jars, some small jars of plant food spikes that I inherited. Now, they're a handful of years old, and they're all different numbers. What's your feeling on these things?
Okay, so number one, fertilizer does not go bad. There's no stale dating on fertilizer.
Okay.
So you can find a bag of fertilizer that's 10 or 20 years old, as long as it's been kept dry and doesn't. It's quite usable at any point. So it's feel free to use it. I'm not a fan of the spikes, though.
Okay.
There are spikes for outdoors. There are spikes for indoors. Obviously, they're much smaller.
These are teeny tiny, yeah.
Yeah. The reason I'm not a big fan is because it's a very concentrated amount of fertilizer in that little spike. When you follow the instructions and you jam that spike into the soil of the pot that your plant is living in, you are invariably going to contact roots with that concentrated spike of fertilizer, and you're going to kill the roots that that fertilizer touches. Eventually, over time, when you're watering, the spike is going to become soluble, so it's going to break down, and it's going to provide nutrient in the soil solution, in the water, in the soil. But initially, it's a very concentrated amount of fertilizer that does damage when you first put it anywhere near the plants, whether it's outdoors or indoors. So if I was going to use, if I inherited a bunch of spikes and I didn't, and I wanted to use them because I own them, I'd break them up into little pieces and I'd sprinkle them on the surface of the soil.
Oh,
they'll tell you how many spikes per size pot. So 3 spikes in a 6-inch pot or whatever. I would break up 3 little spikes and I would sprinkle them on the surface.
Okay, I can do that. Thank you.
My pleasure. Hey, you want to hear, what do we got? We got 1 minute. I'm going to give you just a couple of New Year's resolutions for rose growers brought to you by the Canadian Rose Society. So one of their resolutions, and I think you and I can both really engage with this one, is aim to spend more time enjoying your roses and your gardens. Encourage rose growing by talking about your passion whenever you can, and then learn a new rose fact every week.
You know what? I've got to get more into it. We had a beautiful, beautiful, when we lived in Hamilton, a Floribunda, is that right? I think. Floribunda rose. Oh, my goodness. I'll have to dig out a picture of it. And since we've moved to Collingwood, haven't really had a lot of roses, but I've got to reintroduce them into my life, indeed.
We can fix that.
Fabulous.
In the meantime.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dean.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your good help, and you really are, you're learning this garden show pretty good. I'd like to compliment you on that.
Well,
Carlos, thanks for your help.
Yeah, thanks to Carlos.
Yeah, I couldn't do any of this without Carlos. He's operating and hanging on the end of the line there, looking after everybody. So thanks to our great callers. Keep those questions coming. Send me emails, and I'll see you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.